James chapter number 3. Can you hear all right, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, if you can't now, you don't hesitate, because I'm going to try to be on this one. If we turn this one off and leave this one on, there will be no variance. Okay? I'll leave the lapel on, turn the other one off, and get this one set. Then wherever I go, it's going to be there. Amen. By the way, Miss Brenda, I want to pray about your tithing and giving faith promise on mushrooms. You have been blessed abundantly. And since I'm the missionary here this week and they will not be shipped anywhere and stay up, I think I'm the missionary that gets the faith promise. So I'm just kidding. What a wonderful blessing of God to get over 100. You shouldn't tell people things like that unless you plan on, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So be careful. I don't want you falling tomorrow when you go mushroom hunting. And bless you, Brother John. I'm praying for you too. He went home knowing better and hogged all of them down until he got sick on them. Almost, he said. There is a sin called gluttony, and it includes mushrooms, Brother John. Oh, boy, I tell you that. I enjoy just hearing what goes on in you people's day. It's kind of unusual. And I don't know what the value is on a arrowhead or a spearhead, but man, I'm telling you, as soon as you sell it, let me know. We'll pray about that too. Sounds like there's a whole lot of tithe and faith promise being gathered by his people. I appreciate you being here tonight. Be sure, listen to me. I've got our new prayer cards here and back at that table and the one in the foyer. If you would please, me and Edith need your prayers. On this side is about just personally us. This side gives our home church, her home church in the Philippines, and my home church in Taze Valley, West Virginia. People say to me all the time, why are you a member of a church in West Virginia and you live in Tennessee? Well, I'm at home about as much as I'm in West Virginia. My church in West Virginia, I've been with 25 years. I've had my home in Tennessee about 12 years, 13 years. Now, the problem with the home in Tennessee is I've only been there 15 days since last August. I've been at my home church more than I've been at my home. So if that don't answer your question, I'm more local church if I stay there than I am if I join one at my home. And here's the bottom line. When you've been with the church 25 years, and I've been on the road 25 years, you can't build that relationship if I change my membership to another church. They love me, and they've loved me 25 years and prayed for me. If I change because I live down there, first off, these are the people that invested in me after I left the pastorate here in Indiana. I was there when God called me in their first jubilee, and I cannot build that relationship with any other church in the world because I travel all the time. So that's why I didn't move. Some people say, well, then you're not local church. Well, I'm as local as I can be, and I'm as loco, loco as I can be. So you just pray for me, and if God's too upset and fretted about it, I'm sure he can tell me, and I'll be glad to obey him. He knows that. Resolve any questions? Okay. Philippians chapter 3, once again, as we look, Paul's in prison, and he's writing to these people, and he knows it'll be his final communication. What he begins in this chapter is an amazing statement. But then he immediately goes into great caution and then great concern and then a huge challenge to this people. Notice first of all, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He's writing from prison, about to have his head cut off, and he wants them to rejoice in the Lord. He wants them to look beyond the circumstances of his life and their life and see there is a sovereign God who's in control. And at times we may be confused about what's going on, but God is never out of control. And we know that all things work together, Romans 8:28, for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purposes. I know me and Jerry sat at supper tonight and talked about all that's changed since the death of our wives. It changes every relationship in your life. It changes everything about your life. It changes you. You lose at least 50% of your identity that you've had for so many years, and all of a sudden, you begin to wonder what's going on and why all this. But Paul said, all things work together for good. Now, I can look and I can tell you, God took the better part to heaven and left you the dregs of our union. If I'd been God in my limited wisdom, I'd have messed everything up because I'd have took me first and left my sweet wife down here because everybody loved her. So God must have left me to torment people that don't like me and to be a blessing to people that do like me and be a question to those who don't know me. But God made the right decision. And no matter what my heart or my mind or my acquaintances tell me, it doesn't matter. I know that all things work together for good. So Paul's telling them, rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter if you've lost. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what's happened. You've got a reason right now, right in front of you, to rejoice if you look for it. You can trust God. He is in control. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now watch his concern, his caution. Beware of dogs. Now you know he's talking about the violence of those who would come in and create havoc, those who would attack, those who would take advantage. He's not talking about being aware of dogs outside. That's not a sign on the fence. That's a sign on the church. The dogs are those you and I, to the Jew, would be considered a dog, a Gentile dog. But the way of the Gentile is not the way of God. The way of God is the way of grace. And a Gentile or a Jew can know grace. But listen to me, there's those that come in among us that's not yet tasted the grace of God, who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And God wants us to be watchful, that we don't let the activity, we are in a war and Satan is against us. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Again, there are people who come into the church and their work is not for the glory of God. I'm telling you, there are such as Demas. He said that he had turned Demas over. Demas had forsaken him. He turned him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that his soul might be saved. Now you listen to me. You can, in a bad spirit, become an evil worker. I can tell you why we need revival, because we all have the capacity of becoming careless in our walk with God. And when we become careless, we become critical and not compassionate. We become compromisers and not those who stand concrete on sound doctrine. I've seen great men of God compromise when their kids became teenagers. I've seen great men of God compromise as they've reached great success and compromise on standards and find themselves over their head in sin. There's a church just up north of you where the pastor done a tremendous job for years and ended up getting involved with a staff member's wife not that long ago. Don't try to figure it out because it's so prevalent today. Listen, there are people that come into a work that are evil, and they come in for one purpose. They're under the control of Satan, and it's to bring division and cause schisms and stop the movement of God in a local church. So Paul's telling them, I'm coming down the end of the line. There's plenty to rejoice about, but there's a lot of things you need to regard. Now watch. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he might, whereof he that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now watch what Paul says about himself. But it's important. It's important some of you realize what Paul's about to do. He's about to acknowledge things that one day, throughout much of his life, he thought were great credentials of God's working in his life. But he found out that he was working without God in his life, accomplishing these things. Now watch what he says. The Bible goes on to say, I've got to put my glasses back on, I'm using a little Bible. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness. Now listen to this. Which is in the law. That's an amazing statement. Blameless. There's very few people that God allowed to write that about themselves or wrote that about them. You remember Zacharias and Elizabeth as touching the law? Blameless. That means that they walked such a disciplined life that nobody could open up the Pentateuch or any of the Jewish Mishnah and point to something and say, they're guilty of this. I'll tell you, Baptist, I ain't met a Baptist. I can't be around a little bit and figure out something I could point out. I hardly ever go through a message without preaching myself under great conviction. Just simply. So you've got to admire someone who has disciplined themselves in religion to that level. Watch what he goes on to say. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Now, you know what is the biggest hindrance of revival in our lives? The things we're not willing to count loss to gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you know what stops revival? Because there's some things in your life that may not be sin, but may not be Him, that you want to keep no matter what it would give Christ access to do if you gave up. Now, do you know what is my hardest thing to do after 40 years? Recognize what is between me and God. We all talk like it's there, but we come to a meeting and hear preaching and move not on it.